Welcome to the Meat and Poultry Podcast. This podcast is your online portal to hear from experts in the industry about the latest news, trends, technologies, and people in the world of meat and poultry processing.
For the Meat Poultry Podcast, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Editor. Today we look at a startup where farmers are trying to provide a different outlet for small businesses in Iowa and the rest of the country. Chop Local continues to work on an online marketplace that connects its customers and provides high-quality meat. In this episode of the Meat and Poultry Podcast, we get an explainer on their new operation from Mark Putney, Director of Business Development. Mark takes us through the benefits of the platform for small farmers and how it can be a year-round place for them to sell their meat. He then describes working with customers and farmers about how Chop Local will guide both of them to find meat they want in their homes. Mark then lays out the 2023 strategy with Chop Local and how it hopes to grow around its headquarters in Iowa and other states where businesses are USDA inspected. Later in the conversation, Mark discusses the importance for a customer to see the family and farmers raising their meat and why it's a selling point for their marketplace. Near the end, he explains what Chop Local hopes to accomplish for the rest of 2023 and how it plans to grow its platform across rural communities in the U.S. Take a listen. The first area I wanted to start with, Mark, is kind of give our audience a little background about Chop Local, how long you guys have been around, and kind of where you guys are headed now in 2023.
Yeah, so it all started 25 years ago. Chop Local is only two years old, but 25 years ago, turkey farmers in Iowa were left out of without a market when the Lewis Rich plant closed in down in southeast Iowa. And when that happened, the turkey growers got together, they cooperized, and they bought that plant, and that they banded together. So that they can control their own destiny. And so the Aachen family has been involved in that. Jared is the founder of Chop Local, grew up and, knowing the ins and outs of that business. And so fast forward to the pandemic, we were faced with similar challenges with supply chain issues. And so farmers kind of handcuffed into their decision making because the processors were shut down, plants were shuttered, and so how do we feed our community in that situation? And so that sparked his interest and got him looking at this model, and Chop Local began. So then a little bit later, Katie Althoff came in and as a co-founder. And then I had known Katie from I'm on the Iowa Cattlemen's Board, and Katie was on staff there. I had known her and was really intrigued when she left. I said, now, wait a second, what's this company all about? I was really interested in what that looked like. So anyway, fast forward, I came on and been here about a year now. And currently we have 44 vendors across 12 states, and we're growing every day. And our biggest challenge is just making sure that we can get USDA processing and get that meat through those local lockers and butcher shops and get it out to the customer. So that's kind of the 50,000 foot level. I guess the big benefit to Chop Local is that we just provide the online farmers market type of a marketplace for farmers and ranchers and small business right. folks around the country, but we don't ship the meat, that they handle, ship right from the farm or the ranch. or the butcher shop, and we just facilitate that order processing. And then we give you a whole bunch of resources to learn how, you know, going through on the early stages, licensing and basic, you know, setting up that company. We can help in that. And then just a ton of shipping resources we're not in the shipping container business. And so we just give you the people to talk to get those shipping coolers and all the resources in order to do that. So,
Mark, another thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is your background and why you felt like this was the right place for you to go. I know you guys at Chop Local have a really interesting story of how you're able to connect to farmers. So take me through a little bit about that part of this business of why you guys feel like it's going to continue to succeed.
Yeah, I grew up on a cow-calf farm in the middle of Iowa and been involved in the cattle business my entire life. I'm on the Iowa Cattlemen's Board and really enjoy policy type topics that deal with the issues that we have in the cattle marketing. You know, we are handcuffed by a small group of folks that have a lot of, they have all the data and a lot of power. And so what I've always said, and I will always say, is that we want the packer to make money, because when they make money, they process another animal. And so we want them to make money. And we just don't want to do it on the backs of the entire, you know, ag community, you know, every single day, where they're making huge profits and at the farm gate, we're breaking even or losing money. And so that's been my passion. You know, I think that along with that is, I was talking to the Secretary of Agriculture during the Iowa State Fair. And I said, he says, now what do you do? And I said, really, when it comes down to it, it's rural economic development. Because if what I do every day is successful, if Chop Local is successful, then we're putting money back in those farmers and ranchers' hands and small business owners in the butcher shops. And we're keeping that, we're keeping that small model that happens to be very sustainable. And we're just giving it a lot of fire underneath. And so that's what drives me day to day, is that, you know, we can make some big changes here in the way that we think about our food. And the fact that, yes, I'm going to go to the store. If I go up to the market up here in town and I buy some local meat from that market, and I buy some local eggs and some other things, local produce, I'm going to pay a little bit more. But I'm also going to support those businesses who in turn support your local lumberyard, who support your local, they have babies in the local hospitals, you know. And so now we've changed that rural community. And that's, at the end of the day, that's the drive. I mean, you know, we can all dream of a big, huge corporate type company like Uber or something, you know, but that's not the goal. The goal is that the rural economies are just, and they will fire on, you know, one cylinder will fire now and the next, and it will propel the next cylinder. And so how do we change that, our buying habits in the local economies?
Just kind of a hypothetical, since you've been talking about this, take us through your standard way of kind of how you guys look at acquiring a customer since you've been working with this for the last year or so.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we want somebody who, the ideal customer, is somebody who has prior, you know, retail cut marketing, you know, that that has an established business, maybe has done a lot of farmers markets, just realizes that that's a lot of time away from the ranch or the farm, and wants to continue that, you know, especially now in the winter months. And so to have an online platform that can facilitate those sales would be an ideal customer. And so, you know, we do a lot of, you know, it's kind of, we help the snowball get bigger and continue it moving faster. But really the vendors, the farmers and ranchers need to have their own marketing budget. And that budget needs to be associated with their goal in sales. And so it's no different than any other business. You know, there's a level of marketing that needs to happen in multi-channels. So social media is great, but you also need to do, we have a vendor who ran an ad in the local newspaper and it made a lot of money. So it really generated a lot of local buzz around the communities because they saw it in the paper. And so I definitely encourage those types of channels. And then, you know, the online, you know, that we all know that social media doesn't convert sales very good. Like you can get a lot of awareness, you can get a lot of likes. It doesn't equal actual sales. Our system is built very, it's built very well for SEO or search engine optimization. And so that is really important today because people will be on their phone. They may know, you know, that, you know, a certain ranch or farm, they may know that name in the back of their mind.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they may just grab their phone and type in local ground beef because they want to find the closest ranch or farm or butcher shop for local ground beef. And funny enough, Chop Local ranks number one on Google for local ground beef. And we have a bunch of other search terms as well, but it's the way that our system is built. And we optimize for that. And so, that just really, that brings customers in. Now they have to like what they see and they ultimately have to hit that purchase button in order to garner that sale. So, you know, just making that process simple and easy for the customer to do that.
When you talk to so many farmers, especially when they have a small to mid-size operation, do they see this as, we're still going to go do the farmer's market some of the time, but this is more of a supplemental thing that can help them as well? Are they, you know, going all in with you guys? Kind of take me through what their mindset is a lot of times when you first reach out to them.
Yeah, it depends a little bit on geography. Yeah. So folks in the southern states have a lot larger farmer's market presence because their season is just longer. I'm in Iowa. Our season is May to August, you know, and May is raining and August is, you know, 100 degrees. And so there's definitely opportunities there. I don't like Des Moines, Iowa has a great farmer's market. But we've had folks who have been in those larger markets that decided to do, you know, either go to a brick and mortar and open a meat market type of a store. And their sales went through the roof because they had that online processing. And so it's kind of, you know, it's we have everybody across the board.
Right.
You know, everybody's situation is a little bit different. And so we encourage, you know, whatever it is, whatever channel that they want to pursue, you know, this is Chop Local is one kind of main, kind of the core channel, that we see that folks, even at a farmer's market, that's now, we're not a complete point of sale, but, at a slower farmer's market that, you know, or some certain events, they can run all their sales through our system. And we can do credit card processing and all that right there at that time. So we're not a straight point of sale. So if you have a larger order volume, it's, you know, there's some challenges there, but a lot of times folks have a point of sale system already. So
But when we've talked before, Mark, I think what people that you're trying to get really appreciate is you being able to give them a solid online presence instead of them having to create it themselves. And I know a lot of small local farmers are so busy just keeping up with orders or doing whatever they need to do day to day to stick around. So talk about you being that person to help them, you know, get that more of that online presence when they need it for that final sale.
Yeah. So the, you know, we don't own a farm's front page. So we encourage everybody to have their own domain. So if it's, you know, Jim Smith's farm, you know, .com, grab that domain. We can help you, you know, work through those things. We have freelance designers across the country that you can hire. We don't do the front end design in house. We send that out to other folks. And we want the farm or the ranch or the butcher shop to own that page. We feel strongly about that, that's not our lane. What we do then is set up a shop button, top right corner, and then the customer can see that quickly. They can navigate, get to the micro store, which will have a basic theme and look and feel like it's right along with your website. And then it just has all your products in there and handles all of the order processing. So from a customer saying, I want to get started today, we can have them up and running pretty quickly because it's pretty well plug and play.
Yeah.
There's some, depending on what products, if you have more specialized products, it takes a little bit more time to set it up on the back end. But for the most part, we can get that set up, within, I would say, a couple of weeks, 30 days, and then all your orders are in one spot and it's just easy to manage.
You mentioned earlier 44 different farms with you right now with 12 states. Kind of take me through the strategy of how you guys have grown from starting in Iowa to now kind of looking at different areas around the Midwest or probably the South, it sounds like, to start with this. So.
Yeah, so we started in Iowa. So we have a large presence in Iowa. The nice thing about Iowa is we can ship, basically 2-day ground can ship everywhere from mountain range to mountain range. And so we have a pretty broad area that we can handle. And it's fairly economical. And so we can hit Chicago, we can hit Kansas City, St. Louis, pretty, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
In a short time frame, and that's important. The shipping part is really important, and we can get into that later. But we want to stay within that 2-day ground if possible because it's cheaper to ship it that way, and we have successful shipping. So, that's where we started. The first expansion outside of Iowa was basically just around Iowa. And then really through that Ohio Valley, because Ohio Valley can hit that eastern seaboard very easily from a 2-day ground. And so, culturally, there's a difference there. There's a lot of smaller farmers that have more niche meats. And so you're going to get into, not just cattle and hogs and maybe sheep and, you're going to get some other things there. That was kind of the first focus. And then that kind of ended up winding and going down that eastern seaboard into Georgia. And then into Texas, that kind of is the main focus anyway. We do have a vendor in California that has some awesome chicken. It's just hard to get over the mountains. And so California has kind of always had, they were real early in the local food movement. And so there's a lot of those folks that have been in the business for many years that kind of have their everything lined out and don't really, you know, they don't need another channel, another online presence, because they already have an established one. So,
yeah. And you mentioned the logistics, the shipping, the 2 day. Take us through how you guys map out who to use to get that 2 day shipping done when you're trying to get it to a customer when you're working with the farm that already has it too.
Yep. So we use a shipping integration that kind of bolts on the backside of our system. So every order that comes in, the address is verified, and it shoots it over to that platform. And then inside that, and there's several different ones out there, but inside that one, they get, you know, 45 to 70% off of UPS rates and, you know, lower rates for parcel mail as well. And FedEx, the way that it works, the FedEx discount actually comes within your FedEx account. And then that UPS for the most part, UPS in the Midwest is excellent. We can hit, if we ship on Mondays and Tuesdays, we can hit that successful shipment, you know, Wednesday or Thursday. There's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, that should be a 2 day ship. And then I look at, you know, and it gets there in a day. So it leaves my place at 1:30. It gets there by, you know, 4 o'clock the next day. And I'm like, whoa, that was fast. If we can keep it within 2 days, we can keep that meat frozen. You know, a lot of times right now in the wintertime, you can ship that with very minimal ice packs. We use an ice blanket product that is really nice. It's not dry ice. We don't recommend dry ice because it's costly. It's very costly, number one. Number two, the customer gets it, and then it's got a big old warning label on it, and they're just a little apprehensive about having that. And so we don't recommend it. We use ice blankets, we use gel packs and ice blocks, you know, that are available out there. And the other part of it is, you know, in the wintertime, it's easy to ship in the wintertime because you don't need to use that much ice. You know, in the summertime when it's 95 degrees, well, you need to kind of pick your day. If it's, you know, in Iowa, if you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes because it'll change a little bit. So, you know, Wednesday, it might be 100 degrees but, you know, Thursday, it might be, you know, it might be 10 or 15 degrees cooler. So just finding that day and kind of keeping an eye on the weather can make a big difference. And then the other thing is just making sure that your boxes are labeled, because a proper labeled box will help delay, you know, any delayed shipments. Because if the folks in the receiving center, in the distribution center of whether it's FedEx or whoever, if they see that and they see a big box that says perishable on it, but it doesn't have any paperwork on it, then they're going to assume that there's, because of the risk of off-gassing of dry ice in an airplane, they're going to assume that is dry ice. And so then they send it over to the hazmat team. The hazmat team opens the box, opens the cooler, lets out all the coolant, says, oh yeah, that's gel packs. And then puts it back on, throws some tape on it, and it's on its way. But it delayed a day or however long, plus you lost all your coolant. So I encourage everybody to label the outside of the box to say, hey, this is gel pack coolant, you know, and for the most part, if you're staying within that 2 day ground, you know, you're not going to have those problems. So,
Mark, the next thing I wanted to touch on a little bit was the customer receiving the final product and kind of what you've heard from them and the conversations you have with the farmers you work with. What's been their response in the first couple of years of this Chop Local?
Yeah, so the first order typically, and this is, you know, in many other e-commerce type businesses, the first order is typically smaller. They're kind of testing out, seeing you know, if this is the right fit for them. And so those order volumes are typically in that $50 to $100, maybe $110 range. Then the next, our reorder rate is very high. And the next order, then they're like, ooh, this is nice. This is a, you know, good value. And, then they start to build that trust in, you know, to the system. So that's kind of the, you know, when the customer receives that, they'll get when they process the order, they'll get an email that tells them that the order has been processed. And then they'll get an email when it's shipped and then when it's delivered. And so they kind of know where it's at. So they know, oh, hey, after work, I need to get home because there's a box of meat sitting on my doorstep. And so that's particularly really important in the summertime when it's, you know, 95 degrees outside to make sure that you get that into the freezer right away. We do guarantee that everything, you know, arrives in good fashion. And if we have a 24-hour, like, you know, if something happens and something, you know, something arrives not in good condition, then we just need to verify, you know, kind of what happened so that we can learn from that. And then we either reship or refund those orders. And so we've had like a very, very low fail rate, I guess, on those shipments. We've had, you know, it's less than, you know, 0.5% of the sales, or, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, 5 shipments of everything. So,
you know, I've talked to a few different people about online meat and e-commerce meat over the last few years, but it's really interesting to hear your perspective being a farmer on all this and building out this e-commerce platform. Can you take us through kind of that and how you've developed that part of it, where it is kind of different than some other ones that you guys are competing with? Yeah. A lot of times.
Yeah. So, I mean, our motto or our mission is a little different than other companies. We don't want to be a website, front end website builder. We're not a shipping container, wholesaler. So I guess what it comes down to is if it doesn't work on my farm, if it doesn't work for me, then I can't sell it to somebody else. I'm a horrible salesperson for something that I don't believe in. Like I can't sell it because if it doesn't work for me, it's really a hard pull for me to get on board. So, you know, I think the overarching thing is that our system is built as a marketplace. It's not a great analogy, but analogy that I've used a few times is that we're like the Chamber of Commerce for the town square. And so we will go and promote and support all the businesses on the town square, you know, to bring customers and bring energy into that town square. Now, and then we'll help you set up your store. We'll help you, you know, basically turn the lights on. But at the end of the day, you know, they also have to run their own business, their own store, and they got to bring their own customers in the door as well. We're just going to put some fire underneath of that. So not a great analogy, but, you know, you can poke holes in it, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, the base.
Sure. Well, one of the things I enjoyed about looking at your website, and I know you guys have talked about this before, is on these landing pages, people can really get a first taste of everybody's farm and see what they're looking at. They can see a picture of the family that runs it and do the other things. How important was that when you guys were setting up Chop Local to be like really showing like, yeah, this is exactly where these people are putting together this product?
Yeah, I mean, that just comes down to the fundamental, you know, notion that people don't do business with businesses, they do business with people. And so we want to connect the consumer to the farm and tell the story of the farm that, hey, guess what? We, as a farmer, as a landowner, we take care of our water, we take care of our soil, we take care of our animals, because they've been entrusted to us, and we want the best for them. And so we're not, agriculture has been painted into a bad light for many years. And yes, there are some bad players in there, like anything. But when it comes down to the farm gate, I would encourage anybody, if they have questions, that call me and I'll show you. I'll show you around what we do. Are we, is every farmer perfect? No, everybody has opportunities to improve, you know, whether it's soil health, whether it's water quality, whether it's animal husbandry or animal welfare or something like that. There's always ways that we can improve. But, you know, if we want to tell the story of every time that the customer touches a product, we want to pull them back to, you're doing business with this ranch or this farm or this butcher shop, and Chop Local is just the, we're just the guide. We're the, my kids like Star Wars. And I said, we're just the Luke Skywalker, or the customer is the vendor. The farm is the Luke Skywalker. We're just the Yoda in the picture. So, so they enjoy that. They're like, you need to be more Yoda, Dad.
There you go. Just a couple more, Mark. What's been the biggest lesson for you in learning experience going through this Chop Local process now?
Ooh, that's a good question. I guess the biggest question, the biggest learning curve for me is I've been involved in other businesses before, never in a software tech startup, and so it's different, and it just you know, managing that, and then also, you know, dealing with folks that are busy, they're on the farm all the time, they have their cell phone, but they don't want to deal with a website, and they don't have time. They're trying to feed animals, they're trying to you know, take care of things, and so that's been a, you know, I can talk to farmers all day long, because I love to hear their stories, and I love to hear you know, what's going on their ranch or their farm, and I'm always curious about, especially in different sectors of the country, you know, that like New England is a very different agricultural community than Iowa is. And so I'm intrigued by that. So, you know, I think that the biggest challenge is just, you know, the fact that, there's a lot of technology out there. We need to break it down. And really, we've had some customers who I've had to train on, just, this is how you run. This is basic tech support, you know? Yeah. So that can be a challenge. But other than that, I mean, I think, you know, my motto is always, I want to learn something new every day. I'm not perfect. And if I can learn something, I want to pass it on to everybody that I know. So if it can benefit somebody else. So, I just found a new shipping. I don't have a box here of a breakdown, foam. Basically you build this box and it looks like it's going to be a little cheaper solution. And so I'm having a little bit of fun with that as well.
The wheels are always turning. For that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to touch on, Mark, is kind of what you guys are searching out for goals for 2023. Like, tell me a little bit about what you guys are hoping to accomplish during the rest of this year.
Yeah. So I would really like to fill in some gaps in that, you know, in our map, and get more vendors in that eastern in those eastern states through that Ohio Valley and fill in down to the southeast, you know, and also, you know, out to the Pacific Northwest. We don't have as many folks out there that are, and there's enough market out there that it's just, that's not where our focus has been to start. But yeah, I'd like to get to, I'd like to double the number of vendors that we have, to be honest. I mean, or double or triple. I mean, the customers are finding out about us, and I think that they can buy into our vision and to the way that we operate, because it is doing business with those local farmers and ranchers. So yeah, that's the goal, is filling the gaps, continue to get better and stronger and make that snowball bigger and bigger and get it moving.
Make sure to check out the latest stories from the monthly print edition and online at meatpoultry.com. Make sure to follow us on social media on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. And if you like what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It really helps us. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.